How long ago did you guys get married?
57 years. It'll be 58 this year.
In August.
58.
It'll be 58.
I was looking out the geography window in junior high. She was running along the track, and I thought, oh, my. That's the love of my life right there. And that was in May of 1955.
Wow.
Asked her for a date until November of 56.
We hesitate to tell people.
We tell people that. She doesn't like it. Well, they're going to think we're 100 years old.
They say, how old are you?
And what was your response when he finally asked you?
I said, by this time, he's a freshman in high school. I was an eighth grader. And in my diary, it says, a freshman asked me to go to the school dance, was what it was.
I mean, that was a big deal.
Now, it didn't have anything to do with him. It was just his age. I was so impressed. Well, we went together off and on.
Seven years,
then we got married.
Yeah. Finally, yeah, 7 years later.
I was 20 and he was...
I was taking...
I was 19,
he was back 20. To school and I was going back to school and we stopped and had a luncheon in Emporia, Kansas and I popped the question.
By that time, we were both in college. So.
And she accepted and the rest is history, I guess. Yeah.
We had three children, five grandchildren, so we really are blessed.
We graduated from dental school and I went... immediately into the service because it was Vietnam. So we went right into the service and went to Oregon. That's where we were stationed in.
I guess going here to Oregon where there was no family, It makes you have to get acquainted. And right away we got in a wonderful church.
How can somebody make their marriage last?
How'd you do it?
And particularly in this last year, our motto has been one day at a time because it's been a long year. I don't know, we always kept a sense of humor.
We still laugh a lot. She's my best friend, and we had the ability to through love, share everything, open and honest, and we've always been best friends. I mean, that's been the key to it. She's my best friend, I don't know if I'm hers.
What's the secret to being best friends with your partner?
Well, you like some of the same things. Doesn't have to be all the same things. I don't like everything he likes, and he certainly didn't like everything I like, but I've gotten him to listen to audio books, and I don't know, we do a lot of things.
There's very little, I mean, there's nothing that she doesn't know about me or I about her. And
you start to tell him a story. Well, I know, I was there, so
that might get boring or old, but it really is kind of neat. And I didn't know what real family love was till I walked into her house the first time. It was wonderful. I'd never experienced that before.
Also, you know, there's a lot of being kindness, you know, putting kindness right up there to how to treat each other. Mm-hmm. And people that pick on each other and, you know, that gets real old real quick.
It has to be all about the other person.
Just being supportive, I think. And again, the commitment, I think that's a big deal.
Particularly in these days, I don't think people understand how important that is to have that faith bond. You know, we sometimes lose sight of how important God is in a relationship.
Well, and the commitment too, and in the, so many of the young people don't want to make the commitment of marriage, but they want, you know, to pretend. And then when it goes sour, there's nothing really to make you hang in there. It's easier to walk away.
Isn't that powerful? Absolutely beautiful reminder of what could be in marriage. And I heard a great, great quote from the Marines where it says, everybody wants heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants a great marriage, but with that comes dying to ourselves. And this is an amazing picture. They're an amazing couple. So Roger and Karen, thank you for giving us that moment. Can you guys give it up for Roger and Karen again for sharing that story with us? Again, we're glad that you're with us today as we dive into this idea of being pioneers in relationship together. What does that look like? And so, you know, this weather today, I am amazed of how many are actually here today. Somebody asked me, how do you think people are going to show up? I said, I bet there's going to be like 10 people that show up at church today, but look at you guys, faithful as always to be at church. So glad you're with us, and for those that are joining online. But this weather that we had to get into our car and drive through, can you imagine those early pioneers that had to cross the country going through this type of weather? Without the heaters, without the drive-through food, going through in this little rinky-dink wagons and cold and hungry and that journey across the country. It's a truly amazing thing what people can do. And there's a game that was kind of based off of that called Oregon Trail. Anybody remember Oregon Trail? Come on, somebody. That's a glory game right there. Well, I grew up on Oregon Trail. It's like elementary school when we started playing it. And the premise of the game, it's this computer game. It's where you are like a pioneer, and this is actually a graphic from it, where you go across the country, and every so often you'll face a various trial. So you have a group that you go with, and somebody in your group will get like typhoid, or they'll get bitten by a rattlesnake, or a bear mauls them. And it feels like every 3 seconds somebody's getting killed. I mean, it's just like this constant nightmare on this journey. But if you can make the right decisions and do the right things and fix that wagon wheel, you know, you can maybe make it to Oregon, to the destination. And it's such a beautiful picture of what relationships truly can look like, is as we go through things, we're going to have to make decisions because we go through trials and things that are difficult to make those right decisions. So my prayer through all of this is that who's ever single here today, or widowed, or divorced, or married, or want to get married, or want nothing to do with marriage, wherever you're at in the spectrum, that this would encourage you. Because relationships are all vital and important to our lives. And my prayer is that you would be inspired for what God wants out of your relationships. It may not be a rattlesnake, but it may be an unmet expectation in a relationship. It may not be a broken wagon wheel, but it may be a lazy person that just lays on the couch and isn't clean. It may not be typhoid, but it may be a tender tantrum of just anger with the kids. Whatever can throw us off of the journey of marriage, we want to fix that today and really get to where God wants us to go. So with this, I decided, okay, I want to get into God's word and find a love story to help us understand what love should look like. And I started in Genesis, and I ended in Revelation. Do you know how many love stories I found? One. Barely. Like, it was like, the whole of God's word has like zero Hallmark moments in it. Most of the relationships that are in this are so messy. They're like rated R that I can't even share from the stage. Like, they are like, this is what God has to share with us about marriage? Like, it is messy. Like, why didn't God put in all these great Hallmark moments? Why does he show us a very broken, confusing journey? Well, the reality is because marriage is like that. Relationships are messy. They're not clean. They're not Hallmark. They're not easy to be done. They can be a tough journey. It reminds me of this couple. So there's this husband and wife that were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. The husband goes to his wife and says, "Babe, I got a surprise for you. I just bought you a trip to China for our 25th wedding anniversary." "Darling, that's amazing. Thank you so much. If you would have, you're so sweet. You love me so much. Now, you did this for my 25th. I can't imagine. What are you going to do for our 50th? He says, "Oh, babe, I already know. I'm going to come and pick you up." You can't laugh. That's just funny right there. That one made me laugh. I shared that with my wife. She's like, "Oh, but share it, Tim." I'm like, "Okay, I'll share it." Because that's just the reality of relationships sometimes. They're hard, they're messy, they're not clean and perfect. And so we're going to dive in. And my hope today is that we discover some tools that God has for you. Just like on the wagon trail, they needed tools to go through their journey. They need to have tools to get through those tough times, those difficult times, because God wants you to have a successful marriage and relationship. And one thing about marriage, that where it's messy and real, is that you can't hide anything from your spouse. They see everything. Somebody a couple weeks ago, they saw me on the screen, and I was preaching just like this, and then I was out in the lobby area talking to people, and they walked up, and they're like, "Ooh." I was like, "What?" They said, "Oh, Tim, you look so good on the screen, but in person." I was like, "What?" I smacked that person straight up, you know? But it's like, that's how marriage looks. It's like, you can look good on the outside. You can look good in church. You can look good on your Instagram. You can look good. But something about marriage behind the scene, when the doors are closed, that's the realness. Like, I can look spiritual on this stage, but my bride, if you want to know how much of a man of God I am, ask Kirsten. If you want to know how much I really love the Lord, ask my kids. Because this isn't real. What happens in the home is that realness. That's what really matters. And we have a heartbeat as a church to make disciples who make disciples of Jesus. That's what God's calling us to do. And where that starts is in the home. It starts in the home. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And it says this: if I speak of tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I could give all my possessions to the poor and give all over my body to hardships that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Where do you feel like you really see love in action? In the home. It's in the home. It starts in the home. It starts in those relationships. And some of you are products of divorce. And you know the pain that I'm talking about is that when you go through a divorce, you go through that pain, it's hard, it's heartbreaking. God's calling us to be more like Jesus. And that's why we have those four statements that Joe told us about: know Jesus, find community, discover purpose, and live the mission. These are the four areas that God's calling us to do. And I want us to start in the home. So my wife said I could share this story with you guys. She actually told me to tell you. So my wife, her license expired. And if you don't know what happens with an expired license, you have to go retake your tests. And so my wife had to go retake her test, and she passed the academic test by one question, so she got that one right, but she failed the driver's test. And she's been driving for many years now, but she failed the driver's test. And she came back in after we hugged in a little tears, and she began to talk to me about how she thought she knew all these things, and this one dumb moment she forgot, and she failed that test. And the reason why we take tests and driver's license to make sure we want to make sure that we don't hurt ourselves or hurt anybody else. So she had to take this test to make sure that she's not a problem for society. And she realized, hey, this one area they failed me for. And in marriage, we have the same thing, but yet we don't have to take tests. We don't have to take these tests to see if we're ready for relationships with each other. And what so often happens is that you and I hurt each other, or somebody hurts us, because we don't know how to do relationships. We don't understand how we actually do relationships. So let's get to the tools. Let's get to what I believe God wants to share with you today. The first thing you need to realize in relationships, if you're single today, divorced today, widow today, we all do relationships a certain way. And the person that you're married to or want to get married to, they are simply this: they're a hurt little child, and they're looking to be loved. And something about you, you're a hurt little child looking to be loved. Every single one of us. And so we start that way. So we're hurt, something's happened to us, and we want somebody to love us, accept us. We want somebody to find us. And so here's how we do relationships. So I'm going to teach you guys something today, and hopefully this will change everything. I love this. Okay, let me teach you guys something. Here's how you and I do relationships. If it's in marriage, if it's in relationship, if it's even with a coworker, here's what we do. We go out, we go in, we go up. Out, in, up. Let me explain. When we look at somebody, could be your spouse, could be the person you're dating, could be a coworker, we look out. We look at their actions. What are they doing? What aren't they doing? You know, that person is just sitting on the couch, eating Doritos, watching the Super Bowl as I'm having to watch all these kids by myself. I'm looking at that action. Or that person forgot my birthday, or they forgot our anniversary. I'm looking at your action. Or that person sent me a text of how much they love me, care about me. Oh, we look at an action. We look out. But then what we do is we look in. So because of what they've done, now I look inward. How does that make me feel? It makes me feel hurt. It makes me feel lonely. It makes me feel loved. Because of that goobery text with the hearts and the emojis, now I feel loved. Or because they forgot our anniversary, I don't feel loved. And then the final step of what we do is now we look up. Now we pray about that to God. We usually say something like, oh, Lord, I'm so lonely. My spouse doesn't really care about me. Or, Lord, I feel like nobody sees me. Or, God, what they did hurt me. Or, Lord, make this person the one because they're amazing. So this is how you and I do relationships. We look out, we look in, and then we finally look up. We look out, we look in, we look up. This is how all of them happen. What you do, how, what you did, how I feel, what I need from God, okay? I do this all the time with human beings. Every single day, this is how I operate. And what takes place in romantic relationships is something that I call the 2x4 effect. So, imagine I got an 8-foot-long 2x4. I set that on the stage, okay? And I put you and your baby boo, the person you want to marry that you're married to, on the other end. And I put this on stage, and I say, walk to each other. No problem, right? Easy. You guys can easily walk across the 2x4. But if I took that same 2x4 and I put it over the Grand Canyon, and I say, walk to each other, how many could do it? None of us could. The 2x4 is the 2x4. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed was the surrounding. That's the only thing that changed, was what the surrounding was happening. So most of us, we start off our relationships like Roger did. He sees Karen, most beautiful woman of all time. And he's on the 2x4, she's on 2x4. There's no bills, there's no stress, it's just love. Hey, good looking, what's cooking, you know? And now it's nothing's in the way, everything's great. But then you decide, okay, let's get married, let's put a ring on that. But first I need to meet your in-laws and your parents. Oh my, they're crazy, okay? And so it's what? Just a little up in the air. And so suddenly it's a little more wobbly, but I still see you. We're still good. And then let's get married. Oh, it's going to be amazing. We will never fight. We do such great communication. You're an idiot, okay? Next thing you know, what happens? The person snores. They smell bad. You know, there's just something about them that annoys you. The 2x4 goes higher in the air. And so suddenly you're like, maybe I'll walk towards you. Okay, maybe not. We'll see. Then you have kids. Oh my, what happens? Okay, the kids are crazy. They're pooping all the time. And they don't sleep, and you're exhausted in front. I got 3 kids, and another one on the way. This is something, I mean, like, I'm venting to you guys, okay? So this is what it can feel like. And so now we just need to survive and make sure, oh my goodness, the bills, all the finances. Why did you buy that dumb piece of furniture when we're in debt? Why'd you do that? Or why'd you spend money on that car? We can't And next thing you know, this 2x4 is slowly going higher and higher and higher. And next thing you know, you're looking at somebody and you're on top of this 2x4 and you see only what's around. And you're looking at them thinking, why aren't you coming to me? And they're looking at you, why don't you come to me? And we slowly isolate ourselves. 2x4 hasn't changed, but what has changed is the surrounding. This is how we do relationships. And if I was honest, this is how Kirsten and I do relationships, and this is how a lot of you are doing relationships. And your marriage or your relationship, even you could be dating, feels very much like this. And some of you got divorced because you understand this. You understand the pain of that. And so my hope is that we do it God's way. That God has this amazing plan. I want to show it to you today. So you guys ready for this? Come on, somebody. God wants that 2x4 to start coming down. He wants that 2x4 on that ground so you guys can walk and be with each other. You single people, trust me, what I'm about to teach you today could change everything. If you're even 5 years old today and you're listening to this message, I want this message to come into your mind because you will do relationships your whole life. What happens in the home is what matters the most. Just as a reminder, what happens in the home is why we are the way we are. It's not because of what happened at work. It's what happened in the home. It's what happens with our marriage. It's what happened with how our parents did marriage. It's what happened because of the divorce. We are affected by what happens in the home. What happens in the home matters so much. And so I want to look at God's way. So here's how God does it. Here's what God teaches us to do. Instead of out, in, up, God wants us to go up, in, out. Up, in, out. Let me show you. Up, in, out. We start by going up. Start by going up. You and I live our lives from earth to heaven, meaning that what happens on earth is how we talk to God. So our world, COVID, our finances, our health, what's happening on this earth, and then we go to God. God wants us to live from heaven to earth. Start, what is God wanting? What is God saying? And how does that impact our life, my life? Jesus said this in Matthew 22, verse 37. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Loving God with all my heart, my warm, fuzzy soul, and my mind first. I start my day, I start my life off of putting God first, knowing who God is. Who are you, Lord? I want to love you for you. Not what you can do for me, but just who you are. Getting to God's Word 3 chapters a day and say, Lord, I just want to know who you are. God, I want to be in love with you. I want to know you. Starting our lives off that way. Because how I do this is often how I come out. Like how my express is based off of how my relationship with God is. So there's been many times where I'll come into the house and I will be pouting. And you guys pout too. You come in, life is horrible. Everything's going wrong. And people are dumb. And then Kirsten's like, okay, Tim, tell me what's going on. Everybody's bad. Everything's wrong. And I'm tired, okay? Well, do you want a nap, Tim? No, I don't need a nap. I'm a man, okay? Have you spent time? Next question, are you hungry? You need to eat? It's like, no, I don't need to eat. I fast for Jesus, okay? But then she always will ask, and it helps me, have you spent time with Jesus today? No. Do you think you should? Maybe. Okay, why don't you go for 15 minutes, go upstairs, grab your Bible, and just spend some time with the Lord. Fine. 15 minutes later, hey, babe, how you doing? Missed you, love. It's like, what happened to you, Tim? Well, I was letting my surroundings dictate my joy. Instead of saying, Lord, I want to love you first. I want to love you first. And that's why the Bible teaches us about relationships. In Ephesians 5, it says these two things. And we're going to break this down in the next 2 weeks. We're going to do her needs versus his needs. It's going to be really fun. But husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. There's two differences. One is, husbands love, wives respect. But do you see the common denominator? As you would do unto the Lord, or as Christ has done. If we don't know how Christ does it, we don't know how to do it. If we don't know who Christ is, how can I show my love that way to my wife? Or how can you show that respect as you would unto the Lord? If we don't know. So it starts with the Lord. And I have an illustration for that. So this is the person that you're married to and that you want to get married to or that you're dreaming about marrying them. And you're looking at them on Instagram, Facebook, they're just looking fine, okay? This is them. And you look at them like, man, you look good today. Nice, blue, okay? So good. you know what? I'm kind of thirsty. My soul needs something. I'm lacking something. So what I'll do is I'll go to that person that I'm married to or that I'm dating or that I want to get married to, and I'll go to them and I'll be like, I need you to fill me up. You complete me. That was very unsatisfying. Then we'll go back to them and say, no, my heart hurts. I need you to complete me. Wait a minute. It actually hurts. I'm getting lightheaded. No, listen, I'm thirsty. I need something from you. Ow, okay. Come on, why aren't you fulfilling me? Why are you leaving me dry? Oh, look at that one over there, though. Let me try this one out. How you doing? Let me look at my high school sweetheart from the past. Yeah, I bet you they can do a better job. Nope, same thing. This is relationships without God. You will always try to find fulfillment in somebody that's empty like you. We're trying to find a fulfillment from something that only God can give us. Only God can truly satisfy all of our needs. All of our needs, only God can satisfy. That's why we start up. Lord, I want to be satisfied in you. I want to start up, okay? Now, I want to look in, okay? This is going to save a lot of marriages right now. We're not looking out at how they stink. I want to start by looking in on how I stink. Watch what the Bible says about this. Psalm 139, 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offenses way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. Let me look at myself and say, what's going on in Tim, not Kirsten? Okay, Lord, I want to know you, I want to love you. Now what's going on in me? Not what's wrong with them, what's going on in me? So I was at Smoky Row yesterday, and I've been really praying, saying, God, I want to do what I talked about on Sunday about the vision of embracing each person with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. I said, Lord, love with somebody. And it's amazing, when you actually pray that kind of prayer, God begins to open doors. So I'm sitting at Smoky Row, drinking my coffee, and just had my Bible open, and I'm trying to read and get into God's word, and suddenly this guy comes in, and he sits down like right next to me. He broke social distancing laws, okay? He's sitting around right next to me. I'm like, that was just awkward, but okay, I'll roll with this. And he looks at me, saw my Bible, he's like, oh, you love Jesus, Christian guy thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever you said, I am. Yeah, whatever that was. Yep, that's me. And he's like, oh, I kind of believe in God, but I don't know if I really believe in the Bible or Jesus. I think some parts are true, some parts are not. So I'm like, oh, Lord, this was really random after I prayed for this. So, okay, I will do my best. And I'm like, oh, tell me more. He's like, well, you know, I've studied other religions. I've looked at other things. And you know what? I don't think you really need this. I think we'll get to heaven. I said, well, what about sin? Like, does sin stop? He's like, oh, well, I don't sin. And now this is just fun. So, have you ever lied before? Never. Never lied. And I was playing along. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. How do you do that? He's like, that's just who I am, man. I'm like, oh, wow. Have you ever stolen? No. Never. Wow. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Well, that one doesn't count. I'm like, yes, it does count. It's in the Ten Commandments. He's like, no, that one doesn't count. I'm like, dude, that blows the whole thing open. And then I got to share with them how all of our sin separates us from God. Gave him the gospel. But it cracked me up. I actually started laughing when he said, you know, look at a woman with lust, that one doesn't count. And I think he might even said, like, yeah, for us guys, like, no, doesn't matter. And I'm like, that's how we all think about ourselves. He literally was my soul out in display. I do nothing wrong. I'm really great. My spouse sucks, okay? But me, I am perfect. And then if we would just say, no, Lord, search my heart. Expose what's going on. Let me see the sin, because I know it's there. I start up, I look in, and then finally, I look out. I would, for you at home right now, if you're brave enough, take a picture of what your house looks like right now and post it. How many would do that? Like nobody. Oh, there's some confident cleaners. Okay. But I'll tell you one thing. There's no way I would take a picture of what our house looks like right now. Why? Because it's messy. Like all of our homes, it gets dishes in there. There's clothes on the ground. But if I would tell you that company's coming over in 2 hours, what would you do? You would clean right away. You'd clean it all up. And Kirsten's asked me to clean several times, and I'm a master cleaner. And I know how to do it really quick. She's always amazed how I do it so fast. Do you know how I do it so fast? Closet and under the bed. It is so easy. I don't have to use my hands. I just go, you know, it's just, I'm done at that point. And it becomes a collect-all, but it looks good when people walk through our house. They're like, yep, our houses always look this way. There's like essential oils blowing. It's like, we're always just calm and perfect. Yep, no big deal. It's like, no, it was a tornado before, okay? But that bed became a collect-all of all the junk. Let me tell you something. I think marriage and your spouse becomes the collect-all for all your junk. I think what we do is we put so much on that person. All the stuff that's going on, we dump it all on them to fix it. And that's why God wants to say, no, I want to start up. I want to look in. And then I want to look at you through Jesus' eyes. I want to see you like Jesus sees you. I know there's things that we're missing, but that's how I want to see you. For those that are married or in a relationship, how many of you would want that person to look at you like this? Right? We all would want this. We'd all want our spouse to start up, looking in, and then finally talking to us. But you know what? It starts with us. It starts with Tim. It starts with us. To become more like Christ. Marriages are the Super Bowl of relationships. It's the Super Bowl of relationship. All other regular season games, you can win and lose. Can't lose the Super Bowl. I think some of us, we put more emphasis on the regular season games than on the Super Bowl. We care more about what other people think about us on social media, friends, coworkers. And we'll put all of our energy in the regular season and we'll forget all about the Super Bowl. Marriages are the Super Bowl of relationships, and they're hard, they're tricky. They're discouraging, they're frustrating, but they can actually be wonderful and beautiful. Just like Roger and Karen up there, we all had those warm, fuzzy feelings. We look at that and we think, wow, that's what I want to be like. Well, they had to go through a lot of this to get there. And marriage is a reflection of us and Jesus to the world. How my marriage is with Kirsten is truly a reflection of God's relationship with me. I want to show you something. Marriage is a picture of the gospel message. It truly is. Romans 5, 6 says this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still messing up, failing, imperfect, Christ died for us. And we're going to get into this more a little bit more next week when we talk about her needs. It should be really fun. But you know what's amazing about that is Jesus then tells me as a husband, or you future husbands, this. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ loved the church even when they weren't perfect. And you and I, we need to reflect that. But the only way we can truly reflect this is not doing out, in, up. We have to start with going up, look at myself, and then finally, I look out at you. Just think about how much your relationships would change if you did that one simple thing. That's a tool. Now, I know a lot of your wagons are broken down in your relationships. For you at home, I know some of you are at a verge of even divorce. Some of you are at a verge of giving up. I want to tell you something. Marriage is God's precious gift to us. It is truly a gift from God. It is the Super Bowl. It's the biggest game of our lives, is our relationship. Let's not throw that away, because we want to look out, then in, then finally up. As a pastor, I'm going to invite the worship team forward. We'll close with this. As a pastor, I do weddings, and I always will say the phrase, it's the most terrifying phrase for a lot of people, but it's, till death do us part. Till death do us part. It's a long journey. Now, for some of you, you've been divorced once, twice, maybe even three times. You think, oh, man, I blew it. I messed up. God's grace is new today. It's fresh today. And no matter what relationship you are in, God wants for you to experience the best that could possibly be. The greatest it could possibly be. And let's do it God's way and not our way. So I just want to take some time and just pray for you. And pray that for the marriages, for the relationships, you single people, as you're starting to begin to look out and thinking about who I want to get married to, that God would do a work inside of you. And for those that maybe never understood the gospel before, this is the gospel message. Is that God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son for you while you were still a sinner. And he tells us that whomever believes on Jesus will have everlasting life. And if you've never done that, you've never put your trust in Jesus, because you think, I'm not good enough, I mess up enough, Jesus doesn't do it that way. He looks at you just as you are. He says, come to me. If you've never put your trust in Jesus, today can be that day for you. We tell the Lord, Lord, I put my trust in you. Lord, my sin has separated me. Forgive me of my sins. I put all of my weight on you and trust in you alone, and let God take care of the rest. And for all you people that are in relationships, divorced, single, thinking about getting married, in the thick of marriage, I pray that this message would help be a tool in your tool belt to realize it can be an amazing journey, but it's going to be a long journey. It's a pioneer journey through the wilderness and through difficulty. But God hasn't left you. Let's start by looking up, then in, and then out. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you so much for your word and your promises. How you don't leave us alone in the most difficult of relationships. Thank you for examples like Roger and Karen, Rich and Sherry, Max and Colleen, Myron and Artis, those that have stuck it out through tough times, through difficulties, that have put marriage on a high priority. Lord, help all of us, if this is our first marriage, our second marriage, our third marriage, or thinking about marriage, God, that we would truly embrace it the way you've designed it. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.